Homage to the Buddha, homage to the Dharma, homage to the Sangha. In the past few months, I've had a couple questions involving some of the events that are happening in the world. And one question in particular has stuck in my mind. And the person who asked that question simply asked, how could so many people believe such falsehoods on such a grand scale? Well, in this talk, I'm not going to get into what those falsehoods are. I'm not going to take a particular position on these events happening in the world. But what I do want to talk about is what I, as a Buddhist, can understand for myself to be true, and how I, as a Buddhist monk, and I as myself, not just a Buddhist monk, but you know, what I can give my assent to in belief and what I cannot. When I was a very young monk, even before I became a monk, I was much comforted, greatly comforted, by the teaching that River Master Jiu and her disciples told me, that the Buddha himself gave, when he told his monks, monks, do not believe what I teach just because I teach it. Believe it when you have proved it true in your own experience. And as I say, I found this to be tremendously comforting, and I still do. I have to say the number of things that are true, that I find to be true in my own experience, is perhaps a rather narrow range of things or beliefs, because after all, it's just my experience. It's not the experience of everyone and everything in the world. Then again, there are things that are very important for me that I have proved to be true in my experience and that I believe that I can hold to. I know that I need to hold to through all the various changes, all the vicissitudes of life. For me, two things stand out above all else. One of them is simply that the eternal is. I guess you can add to that, and that I have a route to taking refuge in the eternal through meditation, through the mind and heart of meditation, not just formal sitting meditation. Through the true spiritual understanding and meaning of mindfulness. As Reverend Master said, nothing matters. The external things don't matter. Mindfulness is all. So I've proved that over and over again in my short life to be true for me. The other thing is it goes right along with it. It's just really the other side of it, and that is the precepts. And along with the precepts goes the understanding that all of my actions that I choose to do have consequences, and that I need to be mindful careful, thoughtful about these actions, because these consequences can make my life and the life of others more difficult, or they can make my life and the life of others better, more enlightened. So this way of training and the teaching that goes with it has given me a principle of belief that, especially with regard to the really important things in life, don't believe them just because someone else tells you them. Believe them when you've proved them true for yourself in your own experience. Now here's something that right away that complicates this. When you come to a teacher, you're not going to learn much from that teacher if you actively doubt and query everything the teacher says and everything the teacher does. If you want to learn, you've got to trust that teacher, and you've got to give that teacher the benefit of the doubt rather than a kind of corrosive and skeptical doubt. The benefit of the doubt means, until absolutely proven to be the case, I'll trust what you're teaching, and I'll trust the example that you give me. I should say, until absolutely proven to the contrary, I'll trust the teaching you're giving me. I'll trust the example you show me. You know, with the understanding that you're a human being like me and subject to error just like me. And I'll try not to hold that against you, just as I try not to hold it against myself when I make an honest mistake. So this kind of trust, you know, we call faith. You've got to be willing to extend faith. But then again, for myself, I've always come back to another one of these simple truths that I have found in my own experience. And that is that I can trust my own heart to lead me in the right direction. And I know for a certainty that my own heart brought me to a particular teacher, a particular sangha, a particular way of training. So there you have something that bridges the gap, the seeming gap, between the teaching, don't believe me just because I say it. You'll give your full belief only when you have proven it true in your experience, and you have to take a lot on faith, especially in the beginning. For me, that gap has always been bridged by the fact that I know that what brought me to a particular teacher, a particular sangha, a particular practice, a particular teaching was something greater than myself. Now, later on, further on in my training from the beginning, as I begin to find over and over again that what my teacher taught, some of which initially was really outside my experience, some of which I had difficulties with. But as I found over and over again that what my teacher was teaching me proved to be true in my experience as I went along, I came to have less and less difficulty with the things that I had not yet proved true that she taught. And that just makes sense if you think about it. If you can look at a whole bunch of things and say, put a little check beside each one. Yes, that worked out. Yes, that worked out. Yes, that worked out. Yes, that worked out. Then you have a little shorter list of things. I don't know about this. I don't know about this. I don't know about this. Well, then I could just say, well, that may or may not prove to be true in my experience, but it isn't hard to give it the benefit of the doubt because so many things have been proved true. Now I'd like to speak about belief in a more generalized sense. Not just religious belief, but belief in matters that are more worldly. How can I, as a Buddhist, approach these some of these issues and questions when there is so much conflicting so-called information and when clearly there are such strong positions being taken by people in the realms of the opposites and so much emotion, so much animosity sometimes. Just general good old confusion. Well, here's one thing that is very important to me. When people are spouting hatred and vengeance, I know I don't want to go there. I don't care it is who it is they're hating and wanting vengeance on. I just don't want to go there. I don't want to do that myself. Why don't I want to do that? Because this is one of those things I proved in my own experience for myself. That if I go down that road, even if only in my thoughts, even if I don't act on it with body or speech, but even if I go down that road a little ways with my thoughts, I start to hurt myself. So my spiritual alarm bells go off when people are spouting hatred and vengeance. I know too well, all too well, my own tendency in that direction. I don't want to go there. Now, it may be that apart from the hatred and vengeance, they are spouting something true. They're saying something true. But I have to put a filter on it, spiritually speaking, and filter out that hatred and vengeance. I can generalize this particular point now in this way. And that is to say, I do not want to allow anyone to lead me or influence me in going in the direction that will cause me to break the precepts. I do not want to allow anyone to influence me or lead me in the direction that will cause me to encourage others or influence others to break the precepts. And here I'm thinking not just of the precepts in the letter of their meaning, although that's important. I'm thinking here in the precepts, especially in the spirit of their meaning. What is the spirit of the meaning of the precepts? To know that, you have to return again to the mind and heart of meditation itself, the mind and heart of taking refuge in and looking to the eternal for help and for guidance. In other words, to put it simply, there needs to be humility, the understanding that I am not God, the understanding that no other human being or group of human beings is God, the acceptance of limits, and the willingness to work with compassion and tolerance and understanding and sympathy within those limits. I don't believe in saviors. I have not found, in my experience, anyone to be a savior for me in my whole life. That does not mean I have not been helped by other people. I've been enormously helped by other people. I don't know what would have become of me were it not for the help of some individuals in particular. And in the end, they could not walk the path for me. The Buddhas point the way, thou must go alone, the Buddha taught. People who are looking for a savior want someone else to do it for them. And they will find a savior in a Hitler or a Stalin or a Mao. And of course, there are our own contemporary versions of these things, these people. Another thing that I know from my own experience is that external things and the manipulation of external conditions cannot solve the fundamental problem of suffering. Therefore, when people make that claim for their proposed course of action, I am very careful about giving my assent to that beyond a certain very minimal point. The cause of suffering is within ourselves. The root cause of suffering is within ourselves, not in externals. It is in our own karmic inheritance, the karma, and in the karma that we're making right now, not in external. And the solution is in our choices that we're making right now and in the future, not in externals. So there is no savior and there is no ultimate salvation through manipulating external circumstances and conditions. Of course, there are many things we can do in an external way to help. Just as people in the world spend most of their life doing things that are beneficial for themselves and others, most people, so that's true of us monks too. And it is a joy to be able to make an offering. As Dogen said, it is an act of charity to build a ferry or a bridge. And In one way or another, I spent most of my life now building things, looking after things in monasteries, and it still is for me a joy to be able to make something that will benefit others. And I have some concept of the limits of that offering in the external sense. Making the offering with a pure heart, that is not limited in the same way, but just building a ferry or a bridge, to use Dogen's example, there's a limit to the benefit that it extends to mankind. And one needs to accept that limit. That is not the solution to the suffering of living beings. It's not the ultimate solution. So, let's take this gold standard of the precepts one step further here. Sometimes someone can advocate a position that rings very true to my head, to my brain. And yet, something within me, something deep within me, says, wait a minute, there's something missing. Wait a minute, there's something, there may be something not quite true in this. I strongly recommend to others, as I try to do myself, don't ever ignore that quiet little voice within. It doesn't shout, but if it says there's something not quite complete here, there's something not quite right here, there's something not quite true here, pause and listen to it. Take it seriously. It can work the other way too. Sometimes my head won't get it. Often I'm in this situation. My head won't understand it, but something in me says, it's time to go and this is the way to go. Go. Then if I want to be true to that, I have to step out in just pure faith. And later on, I'll find out if I got it right or not. All the noise and clamor, all the rattling between the opposites that goes on in the world, it doesn't matter. There is that which each of us can know from our own experience to be true. There is a path that each of us can walk that is a perceptual path. There is an offering that each of us can make which is a good and true offering. I strongly encourage people who are training in Buddhism, do not worry about external things. Focus on your own training. Keep your focus very close to home. And each day do that which seems to you from your own heart to be good to do. and do it in a way that you can live with and not one day come to deeply regret. Homage to all the Buddhas in all world. Homage to all the Bodhisattvas in all world. Homage to the scripture of great wisdom.